Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 414, The Word in Our Testimonies. Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, March 30th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
There we go. Okay, hi. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. Thank you, Lord, for this word that you gave me for the sermon called The Word in Our Testimonies. Thank you, Lord, that you woke me up in the middle of the night when I didn't know what to do and you said, this is it. So today's the day. I'm so excited to roll this out for the people of Christ. We thank you, Lord. Work through me. Bless my lips. Let it be to your honor, to your glory, and let your voice come through. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So what is the definition of a testimony? It is the act of sharing our personal experiences and encounters. It is the reflection of God's work in our lives. The Hebrew word aduth means to do it again. It is in the context of the power and authority of Jesus. When we share our testimonies, we do not know how He does it, but we tell that He did. We know that Jesus has the power and authority over everything that we experience in this world. Amen? Amen? Yes, we know it. And so every time we speak out or read a testimony, we are saying, Lord, do it again. Yes. With the same power and authority over and over. Amen? So the word says in Revelation 12:11, they triumphed over him being the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now over here, we're not being persecuted as much as they are in other parts of the world, correct? Right. It's just our whether they like you or not. Whoop, who cares? I mean, all God's asking us to do is share my relationship with you. Speak out. Tell others about what I have done for you. No one can refute it. No one can say, well, that didn't happen. Yes, it did, because it happened to me. And so the blood of the Lamb is what sets us free, but it's our word of our testimony. And so it doesn't matter if they like it or they don't like it. It happened to you. It is no different than saying somebody tied my shoe when I went to get fitted for shoes. I mean, where'd that come from? Anyways, you know what I'm saying? Just stuff, right? But when it happens to you, no one can say, no, it didn't. Well, they can say it, but you know it did, right? So there's nothing wrong with sharing your testimony, because it says they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death or worrying about what somebody else has to say to you, about you. So this emphasizes the power of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross as the foundation of our victory over Satan and evil. We all want that, right? We want that victory over evil. So when we get it, why would we not say it?
Right.
Why would we not tell somebody? Just look for your Christian friends. Guess what? No, I have gone to Walmart with amazing testimony, and I stopped people and said, you want to hear what Jesus just did for me? I cannot believe this. It just happened. I got to share. And they say, thank you for sharing. Because He did it for me. And I couldn't contain myself. And I was just looking for anybody to listen. You know how it goes. Too bad Tim wasn't there, right? It speaks, this testimony speaks to the importance of actively proclaiming and living out our faith, even in the face of persecution and hardship. We want to be willing to sacrifice everything, including our own lives, for the sake of Christ and His truth. What just comes to my mind just now, sharing the gospel early on in my days, and we were going around a trailer court, and we saw this big party, and I'm like, yeah, well, that's where we're supposed to go. And we get over there, and the two guys that were with me, and we're walking, and I see it, and I start walking up the driveway. Did not know they didn't walk with me. It was a funeral for a Harley rider's kid. But I went and talked to them, and they eventually joined me. But you know, when Jesus says, go tell somebody something, go tell. Yes. It's okay. And they appreciated us coming. You could tell the ones that didn't want to hear it. They wandered off. But the head of the group came up and talked, and he was thankful, and we prayed for him. And it was amazing, because God said so. So this verse up here, Revelations, that we just talked about, this verse suggests that believers are not merely recipients of God's grace, but active participation in the victory over evil through our faith and witness. It is our participation with the gospel. So who likes to share testimonies? Really? Only one, two, three? Come on. Do you have a testimony?
Yes.
Okay, because as I'm talking, I'm going to ask at the end for a 1 to 2 minute testimony. I want to hear them. I want to hear what God has done. Because when you share out of your heart, it helps somebody else. It's not for you. It's for somebody else.
Right.
Right? So that's why I can tell you all these stories that I've gone out and done, because they're what God did. They're what God did. And the more you share, the bolder you get. Amen? So good thing I'm a talker. So this first serves as both an encouragement and a challenge to us, reminding us of our victory in Christ and calling us to live lives of faithful witness and sacrificial love in response to Jesus. It is a sacrifice if you are inverted and you are quiet. It is a sacrifice to tell somebody a testimony. But the more you do it, the stronger you'll get. Because it's not you that's speaking anyway. It's Him in you, what He did for you. Amen. So when you take that step of faith to not be timid and to speak, He's going to be the one speaking through you. Just let yourself allow Him to use your mouth, to use your voice. Can you do that?
Yes.
Amen. All right. So in Isaiah 43, 9 through 12, this is what God said. Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. In verse 10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. He's basically saying, I have chosen you. Who likes that verse in Ephesians? I am chosen.
Yes.
I am holy. I am loved. Well, guess what? He chose you to speak.
Yeah.
He's telling us right here, I chose you to share your testimony. Okay? So do you want to do that? Do you want to be obedient to all of what He says?
Yes.
All right. So verse 11, I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. He reveals it to someone, He saves them, and they're to proclaim. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Who feels that one in their heart? All right. The biblical meaning of this is that believers bear witness to the faithfulness of God. They encourage and strengthen one another, and they overcome the enemy and spread the message of salvation. The church is lacking in this in America for sure. Because the evil thinks they've got it all as they're starting to get bolder and bolder and bolder and louder with what they're doing. The church has got to rise up. We have got to share our testimony. You may think it's tiny, but it's huge.
Yes.
It is a miracle when He changes someone's life from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. It is a miracle of God. So every one of us in here is a miracle of God, and we have to share out of our mouths what He has done for us. If we're not sharing, we're not being the church. And I don't mean to wag a finger, but I am, because we have got to share.
Yes.
I've been watching Mario Murillo tent meeting all week, so I'm a little bit fired up. He comes around this thing and he says, I'm mad now, I'm mad. And he starts talking to people right up into their face. So I'm not going to do that at this time, but you never know, because I'm feeling pretty fired up. So giving or sharing a testimony in Christianity is telling someone else about your relationship with the Lord. It is a public profession of your faith journey and your relationship with the Savior. Amen. Okay, now I want to hear some or see some hearts going, yeah, I'm going to share. I'm going to get over my little tickles in my stomach, because that's from you. But then there's going to come this pounding in your spirit. That's going to be the Holy Spirit saying, you go up there, you. All right. So be ready. So now we're going to switch over and we're going to talk about Rapha. Do you know who Rapha is? Who is Rapha to you? I'm going to tell you who he is to me. In Hebrew, Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals. A deeper meaning of Rapha is to heal, healer, physician, to restore or mend, to make healthful, to make whole. Furthermore, it means to heal hurts of nations and also individual distresses. So, who is he to you? He's your healer. He's your physician. He's your restorer. Any of those things. But to me, he's all of it. Because he changed my life. This characteristic of God is what changed my life. The healing, this person of the relationship with God. The healing of our relationship with the Father was because of Jehovah Rapha, Jesus. And it was accomplished at the cross. You know, if you hadn't met Jehovah Rapha, you wouldn't have been brought back. Mm-hmm. So I got a fact. You know, always got to have them, right?
Yep.
Fact. The word Rapha in Hebrew was used 77 times in the King James Version of the Bible and 72 times in the NIV. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, healer over everything, healer of all. Rapha was the power to heal, has the power to heal physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Do you need healed in any of those areas, all of those areas? Jehovah Rapha is your healer. He can heal our bodies, our souls, our spirit. He can restore creation and repair our relationship with himself. And I need the picture put on the screen. I say that so nice and slowly. I have a picture of the word Rapha in Hebrew. We're doing sound checks, so my, what do you call them? Monitor guy back there. Thank you, Santos. All right. This is the word Rapha. All right. It's three letters in Hebrew. Many characteristics brought together to make this one word. Now, I just went really low surface area here. But when we understand how the Hebrew language works, how in-depth it is, how a picture can say 1,000 words, and how you bring the characters together and what it means, it takes you so deep into the understanding of who he is. It's amazing. So when you read Hebrew, you start over here and you go this direction. It's the opposite of English. So this first character is called Raesh. The first letter, Raesh. I'm going to learn it. I'm learning Hebrew. So Raesh. And it means head or beginning. And it shows a picture of being a servant bowed down. But it can also be linked to poverty and wickedness. It symbolizes a bowed head facing away from God. It looks like the back of a man's head representing that man is nothing without God. He's bowed down and God is behind him. He is nothing without God. Because without understanding and revelation from him, we cannot comprehend how to bring our lives back into order when things happen to us. You know those things that happen, a car accident, a sudden death, unexpected, finance bottoms out. You know those unexpected things that the devil brings across us. When these things come to break us, we can imagine a jar smashed in the dust. It just seems impossible to pick up every piece of your life. And you've had those moments, right? We all have. Seems impossible because it's all over in the dust. Can we even find every piece to try and put it back together? Will it ever be able to hold anything within it again? Guess what? Rapha is the only one who can bring all the pieces back together and restore us and mold us into a whole new job. He is the only one who can. When we turn to God in those helpless situations, our minds need to be shut off from the natural. And we need to get the mind of Christ in the supernatural. No longer focusing on where the pieces are. Let him do that. Just focus on him and he will bring it all back together and present you as a new jar. Amen. And I'm trying not to cry. We must renew our minds to be consumed by spiritual understanding and out of the doubt of this world. Yes. We must put our thoughts into Jesus and his power. Actually visualize ourselves as healed, whole, brand new jar, whatever that looks like, finances coming in, loved one's death, you know, overcoming these things. We have to get the revelation of who Rapha is in our lives. I've experienced many earth-shattering things in my life, and I'll tell that part later. But the second letter, Jehovah Rapha is the one who brought it all back together. Now, the second letter is Pei. It is a picture of a mouth. Can you see that right there? This is like on its face. Here's the mouth. There's a lot of other things going on in that picture, but I'm just going surface level here. It is a picture of a mouth, and it can mean to speak or vocalize. It speaks of habitation and power. The Father created the world by speaking out of his mouth, and things came into being. Creation was formed and habitation came to be. There is power, fiery power, by the hand of God when we open our mouths and speak. When we get a revelation of Rapha and we speak, that power comes out of our mouths and healing will manifest. Amen. Why do you think he tells us to go and preach the gospel? Because power comes out of our mouths when we speak. Power for your own self when you declare. Power comes out of your mouth when you give your testimony. Comes out of your mouth and hits someone else right where it needs to in the heart. He knows who needs to hear what. So don't hold back from God using you, whatever you do. So the third letter is Aleph. It represents the beginning of creation and the start of God's revelation to humanity. It represents the oneness and the unity of God. It also has meaning of oxen and leadership, which signifies the power of God. We can know that healing is already done, and we just need to come into agreement that he's provided it. He provided it at the beginning with the Hebrew language in one letter. That's pretty amazing. And we're sitting around here trying to figure out if he did or he didn't. Am I healed? Am I not? He already provided that letter thousands of years ago. Thousands of years. One letter. One letter says it all. The letter looks like the hand of God reaching down from heaven and hand reaching up from man. There's a ladder or a bridge running between that connect the two. This is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it represents the gospel all in one character. Wow. I don't know about you, my mind was blown. So God revealed himself as Rapha early in Scripture in the book of Exodus to the entire nation of Israel. In Exodus 15, 22 to 26, it says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea." This is after they left Egypt and they went across the Red Sea. And now Moses is leading them into the desert of Shur. Is that how you say it? Shur. "For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And they came to Marah. They could not drink its water because it was bitter, just like their hearts." So in verse 24, it says, "So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink? Wah, wah, wah. What are we going to have? What are we going to drink?'" Not the fact that they're free. Not the fact they just walked across the Red Sea and it was parted for them. Are we doing that? I mean, he changed our whole hearts and we're Christians. Are we whining? Because we shouldn't be. We should be saying, "God, you already did it. You've already done it. You've already done it. And what all do you have for me yet?" That's our God. That's who we should be praising, not grumbling. So then Moses cried out to the Lord. I won't even imitate that. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There, the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Now, some people like to take this verse and go, "Oh, God brings sickness. Yep, he does. Right there it says so. Let me remind you, this is the old covenant. This is the old covenant, and it says that there were rules and consequences given for their obedience or their disobedience. We don't have that now. We have the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to say, well, that pertains to us. He gave me this sickness. Absolutely not. He did not.
Amen.
Amen. He did not. The enemy is the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The minute you have a cold, you have the beginnings of death in your body, because that's Satan. He wants you to believe that cold's going to take you down. That cold's going to turn into pneumonia. That cold's going to turn into you on a ventilator. That's his thoughts.
Yeah.
God's thoughts are, no, I am the Lord who heals you. Take that out of that verse. I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord who heals you. And sickness, you leave my body.
Amen.
Amen. He created our bodies to become well when the devil brings sickness on us. We rest. We drink fluids. We drink our OJ. We take our vitamin C. Boop, boop, boop. Couple days. We're bad. We're all well again. That's Jehovah Rapha. We just have to come into agreement that he's already done it. Oh, and, you know, the other day at healing class, I'm showing everybody a cut on my finger. I just love getting a cut. I know I'm crazy, but that cut heals itself. You don't even pray for it. He created our bodies to heal because he knew the devil was going to do stuff. All right, back to our story. God provided for the children of Israel in the desert. When they came across the bitter water of Marah, it symbolized the state of their hearts. The only thing that could restore that water was Rapha. And he chose to use a tree. So God gave us a vision of our salvation here. Jesus took the bitterness of our sins and the wrath of the Father on the tree. He made a way to restore our relationship with him, with God. He brought us forgiveness and healing because he is Rapha, our great physician, our restorer. Do you see the connection? It's forgiveness and healing together. That's who Rapha is. He is our great physician, our restorer. Our salvation came through on a tree, the cross, because he is our healer. He brings healing to our broken hearts and our inner being. The starting point to any healing, and I want you to listen up, perk up, look at me. That's what Mario says. Look at me. Important point right here. The starting point to any healing is the spiritual restoration of the person who has been brought into a perfect relationship with the God of the universe. When you have a right relationship with God, that's when it all starts for you. Now, he'll heal people that are not believers as well, because he's always doing miracle signs and wonders, right? But I'm telling you, for me, it was that. Miracle sign and wonders are not just for our physical bodies, but they can also bring healing into our broken hearts, healing from family troubles, finances, ministries, anything that needs restored. We just need to get a revelation of Rapha and get into his presence. Amen. So in my testimony, Jesus healed my heart, my soul, and my body. He changed everything in my life. He restored me into a right relationship with himself, and everything else lined up after that. He made me whole. I may look a little crazy, but I am whole. This is the way he made me. That is transformation. If you are not being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, you haven't heard the gospel. Because the gospel is to change your life. The gospel is to set you free from things of this world. If you come into agreement with things of this world, you're not going to be set free. You haven't heard the whole gospel. There's a part there somewhere you need to hear it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Well, if I'm not being transformed, I need something from you. What is it? Be willing to go out there and ask God, what is it? What needs to be transformed? Why is my life not changing? So I was 50 years old when I met Jesus for the first time as a person, as Jehovah Rapha. I was in church every Sunday most of my life. I worshiped, I prayed, I spoke all the decrees and all the stuff that they say to say in church, the confessions. I took communion, but I did not know him as a person. And so in 2015, when Time to Revive came, and we were sharing the gospel out on the streets, about the third night, Kyle was preaching, and he said, Romans 10:9-10, it's the green verse on your wristband. And he was telling us what that means. Because I was out there sharing it. I'm going to always go do what God wants me to do. But I did not know what that meant. And it is, if you confess with your mouth, second letter, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, I did not know what that meant. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I thought I was saved. I had no idea that I had to confess out of my mouth that Jesus was Lord. It's a testimony, right? It's right where I was missing that I had never said he is Lord. I don't know where we were at in our household except for that kids were really important and everything they needed or whatever was first, our marriage and all that. But God was in there. He just wasn't Lord of our lives. I came home that night and I said, things are going to change around here because I made him Lord. Not even really understanding all that until I got with Sarah and got discipleship. But he says, you will be saved. Those four words are so true. It'll change everything if you let God do it. Change everything. For it is with the heart that a person believes. Remember, it's about your heart. It's about believing in who he is. It's not knowing that the word says you need to believe. It's in your heart. And that's what was missing for me. I just knew when I was in trouble and I had a surgery, I had to get out the Bible and I take the Bible to the hospital. And trust me, I had 20 years of sicknesses and mental illnesses and all those things. And I would take the Bible in there, whether I read it or not, didn't matter. I was carrying the word of God, but I didn't know him. I didn't know him as Lord. And it says that when you believe, it results in righteousness, which means he puts you in right standing with God. I wasn't in right standing. I'm over here in the sidelines, like in the peanut gallery section of the fans, you know, whoa, go Jesus. But when he put me into the righteousness of God, put me in right standing, it changed my whole life. It didn't happen overnight either. It took a long time. It's been 10 years. But it says, then with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now, salvation does not mean just that you're saved with your eternal life. It means everything. Jehovah Rapha, he saves you. He saved me from sickness, from mental illness, from terrible, terrible way of life. Terrible. And I'm not going to go into all of that because you've heard it before, or you can go back and hear it in 2019 when I testified. But he changed every aspect of my life, and he is continuing to do so. He set me free. So if I read that last section again, for it is with the heart that a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation.
Yes.
I am saved.
Yes,
I have eternal life, but I am saved because he changed everything. And over the next 5 years, as I came here to this church and I got discipleship and I started unlearning the religion that I had been taught for all my life, I unlearned it and got to salvation, where he has changed everything. And now I'm transformed, and you know it, right? I'm the one in the back screaming and yelling and dancing and hooping and hollering because I am not the same.
Yes.
I am a product of Rapha, and he is my Savior.
Yes. Yes.
He revealed everything to me that needed to be changed slowly because I couldn't handle it all at once. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it all at once. What? What? Pastor Harley said to me early on, you're going to work in the healing center. What's a healing center? I need one. Yeah, I am. I am going to work in the healing center. You darn tootin' I am, because where the devil wants to take you down is where God's going to use you the most.
Amen.
So 20, 30 years of sicknesses, I don't know how many surgeries, how many things, car accidents, breast cancer, blah, 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 all those things where the enemy tried to take me out is now a testimony to you, to anybody else who comes, and freedom. Freedom. And I can speak that to someone and they can believe it because it happened to me. Mm-hmm. It's not something you can refute. It happened to me. If you knew me before, you don't see the same person.
Amen.
Amen. You don't see that same person. That argumentative, mental ill, depressed, anxiety filled, post-traumatic stress, bipolar, None of it. He took it all away.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I got rid of 7 doctors, 32 pills, opiate pain patches, all gone. All gone because of Rapha. All right, so that's my testimony. But there are 4 steps, get your pen, of action to take to receive Rapha for yourself. 4 points, very small, get a pen. Here's what you got to do. All right? You have to hear the word. You have to hear the word. See, I knew I'd been in church and I heard it with my ear and my head, but I never knew it in my heart. I never met Jesus in my heart. So when he speaks the word to you, you know, all those thousands of words in the Bible, there's somewhere in there that he has wrote for you. And that word will come into your spirit. Now you hear it. You hear it. Hear the word. So for me, it was confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. What? Yes, he is Lord. So hear the word, number one. Number two, get a revelation. Get a revelation of what that means. And that's what Kyle was doing up on the stage and talking and telling us as Lord, as Lord. What does that mean? And then Sarah took me further into the understanding of that. And I got the revelation. And he continues to speak that revelation to me more and more and more. He's got so much good for us. But if we're stuck in thinking we have to stay down here in the stinking stuff on the ground, we're never going to get there. So that third point, when you get the revelation, is come into agreement with it. Come on. You got to say, yes, that's for me. Jesus is my Lord. He is so good. How is it that he can raise Jesus from the dead but not get me healed? That isn't our God. That's a negative thought. Mm-hmm. Take it captive and put it underneath your feet. Right? Because he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is the creator of the universe. Well, it's gone now, but that first character. He's reaching down. We have to reach up and say, I need you. I want you. I need you. Number four, speak the power of God out of your mouth. Fire. When you speak that out over your own self, your ears hear it, and it goes to your brain and says, ah, she's saying something important. Changes everything. Speak the power of God to others. Share your testimony. The power of God is in your testimony. It may seem small to you, but it changes someone else. Testimonies are for you and for others, okay? Write them down. I mean, light bulb stopped flickering when I said stop it. You know, that's a testimony. It did. It stopped flickering. My dad was in the living room with my dad, and the light started flickering. I said, in Jesus' name, stop. I'm trying to talk. You're distracting. Stop it. Stopped and never blinked again. And he wrote that down. He said, wow, I saw a miracle. That's a sign and wonder. Power of God. Okay? It wasn't Tanya. It was the power of God. He still remembers it. Every time I go, he said, remember that? Mm-hmm. It's a sign and wonder because the power of God comes out of your mouth. So in praying for a man in the hospital, the Lord gave me a word for him. He said, Psalm 107:20. He sent forth his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. So Santos, will you please put that other picture up? So he gave me that, and I'm praying into it, and I got a vision. Because remember, you have to hear the word, right? I got a vision of Jesus, and he came and he stood in front of me with his arms stretched out like this. Right in front of me. And he said, I am the living word. Okay, the revelation is that God, the Father, sent forth his word, Jesus Christ. Okay, it isn't just a word in the Bible. The living word, Jehovah Rapha, standing in front of me. And he says, and I have bore your sins on the tree so that you might die to sin and live for righteousness. Now, we've already talked about righteousness, right? Right standing with God. He sent the living word of Jesus to bear my sins. And he spoke it to me. I bore your sins. That's why I made this verse to me. I have bore your sins. Does that not touch your heart? So that I can live for righteousness. And he says, and I have taken up your diseases and carried your sorrows. And by my wounds, the living word, by my wounds, you have been healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I meditate on this a lot because he spoke to me. Now, he's standing in front of me like this, and I was hesitating to share that word with the man in the hospital because he was like looking like he's going to die. I don't want to say the word grave. No, it's the word of God. He sent forth, and he stands in front of me with his arms out, and he speaks this to me. Am I going to call him a liar? You know I'm not. I will not. He spoke the truth to me. That is the word of God, and that's how you make the word come alive in your heart. That's how you hear it. You get a revelation. You come into agreement, and you speak it out of your mouth. That's how it's done. Amen? So, that was just powerful. I just had to share. You know, when we went to the Invasion Conference the other day, I already shared a little bit, but I want it to be on recording. The speaker was talking about Rapha, and he introduced some of this to me, and I went in deeper with it, applied my own insight into it. But when he said, if you need a touch from Rapha, and you got a revelation of who he is, come up and get that touch. And I really hesitated because I know who he is. I have a revelation. He's changed my life. I'm sitting there bawling. Yes, he's changed my life. But, okay, I've been dealing with this hip issue for about a year and a half. And the Lord's been healing it. And I did physical therapy. I'm speaking the word over it. Why not? I'll go up and get a touch. Might as well. I'm right here. And when I went up there, he actually was praying for someone. And he got to me. And I said, hip. And he said, the Lord is shaving off something in your hip. He stopped. He actually didn't go back and forth. He stopped and he spoke to me. He's shaving off something in your hip. And he said, can you lift your leg? Or, you know, how's the pain? And as I went to lift my leg and look in his eyes, I saw Jesus like right in front of me. Just that verse stood right in front of me. And I fell to the ground immediately. That's my Savior. That's Rapha. I know who that is. And I laid on the floor, and y'all that aren't Pentecostal or whatever, you think that's crazy, but I'm telling you what, God had to do a work in me when I wasn't moving. And he said to me, I'm doing surgery on your hip right now. And I felt him moving around in my hip. And he was moving, and it was getting hot, and I just let him do it. I laid there, and I let him do it. I don't know how long I was down there. But when I went to get up, I could hardly walk because I was so drunk from being in his presence and his touch on my leg that I got a little crazy, and I got up and jumped up and down and ran through the church. And you see that happen at the tent meetings, and it happened to me. But I'm telling you, he did surgery. He did surgery on me. And you can think I'm crazy, but it's my testimony. You can't refute it. He did surgery, and with, I don't know, 3-4 days, I went through the recovery of the surgery, and my hip is healed. Completely, like completely gone. Gone. Because of Jehovah Rapha. Give him a hand. Amen. Amen. It's his glory. He did it. I mean, I've been under the power of God many times, but I felt that in my hip moving around and doing something. He said the words he shaved. I didn't even really hear him. I was just up there. And when I went back and watched it, I heard him say that. I'm like, yes, that's what he did. He did surgery. Of course, there was a bunch of other funny stuff, but I'm just running. I just was running because I could. God healed me. And so remember that testimonies are an act of sharing personal encounters and your relationship with Jesus with others. So our testimonies bring God glory. Amen. Amen. So I have three people I have asked to come and share today for 3 minutes each. They're going to share what God did with them. And then we're going to wrap it up, and I am going to invite you up to share. So be thinking about that. Get over the willy-nillies and just share with your family, okay? All right, I need Aaliyah, please.
Morning again. Hello. Testing. Good to go? Hallelujah. Maybe? Yes? Thank you, Lord. The black one.
I'm not going to interpret.
All right. Thank you, Lord. All right.
Power.
We're live. Power of God. So it was a few weeks ago. I had a major mental attack. It started at work where some things were spoken and said, and I chose to take that home with me instead of immediately casting that out. And as I sat and rested in that yuck and allowed the devil to come in through that door, I started to believe more and more things about me that weren't true. All the areas in my life that the devil was like, you're failing at this, you're failing at that, you can't do this. And I had a horrible night. I cried myself to sleep. My loving husband comforted me, which was beautiful, but I thought, this is it. I failed and I'm done, and I failed the Lord, and I went to sleep. And I woke up the next morning with God being like, no, I'm not having that. You are not a failure. You are my daughter. Get up and get a scripture. So Colossians 1 verse 27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I read that out loud and I prayed it and believed it for myself. And I got a bonus scripture. Romans 8 verses 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I am saved, a child of God. I am not a failure. And if for another bonus, the next morning, I woke up with a huge Charlie horse in my leg, and I immediately jumped out of bed. I don't know if you've ever had a Charlie horse. But the Lord goes, this is how I want you to deal with it when the devil attacks you immediately. You get up and you deal with it now. You don't wait till the next day to deal with a mental attack. You don't lay in bed with a Charlie horse and go, oh, it really hurts, but I'll just deal with it later. You get up and you pray. You find the scripture. You believe in it. You speak it out. And guess what? I've had a beautiful, beautiful week at work ever since then. I received nothing negative, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lucy, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Right over here. Thank you, Jesus. All right.
Hello. I am an 8-year survivor of cancer. 8 years ago, I went through chemo, radiation, surgery, more chemo. And for all these years, I've been fine until January when I went in for my yearly check-in. And the doctor says, oh, there are some spots that are bigger on your last CAT scan, and there's some more stuff there that we're really concerned about. We want you to do an MRI with contrast. Well, that really put me into a shocky state, and for the next 3 weeks, waiting for the MRI, I dealt with it. The verse I stood on at that time was Psalm 118:17. I will not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. Tanya was a big instigator in this because she got me to stand on the authority rather than giving in and saying, oh, this is what's going to be. The other issue was, for contrast, I'm severely anaphylactic in past history. Been through it several times, blow through the steroids, and now I have an issue with steroids. So for me to deal with the idea that the doctors are insisting this has to be done with contrast was extremely scary. That was more scary than the thought of cancer for me. So I got another verse. Oops, it's right here. Mark 16, 17, and 18. These signs will accompany them who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. For me, the idea of that contrast was like a poison to my body. This is what I stood on. The night before that MRI, I spent an hour in prayer and received the word that said, do not access the port, because the plan had been for me to access the chemo port that I've kept in place and then go for the MRI with contrast. the word was, do not access the port. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know I might get stuck 8 times trying to get it in anywhere else. But I'll go with it. The next morning, I get up. 30 minutes, I'm in prayer. And again, more strongly, do not access the port. And I'm like, okay, well, that just saves me time. I won't have to go 2 places, only the one. So I go for the MRI. The tech comes to talk with me, and she goes, did you access the port? I'm like, no, I received the word. I was not supposed to access the port. She didn't understand what I was talking about, but that's okay. So she says, oh, I am so glad. We called ahead to the lab to tell them not to do it when you showed up. So I'm immediately standing up, twirling around, praising the Lord, because that's the only thing that makes sense at that point, because obviously he had my back.
Yes, amen.
He had my back.
Yes.
The end result is the MRI showed absolutely nothing except what had previously been there, a hemangioma that had not gotten any bigger, a little benign cyst, that nothing had changed from years and years ago.
Amen.
This is the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Find your verse and stand on it.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. No cancer.
No cancer.
Okay? When we stand up in authority, we can take our place over the sicknesses.
Yes.
All right?
Amen.
So this is Carol, and she's going to share now.
Last year, I was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer, and I've never had to face anything like this, faced many other difficulties in life, but never something like this. And went to the Lord, and I was like, what do you want me to do, Lord? I believe in doctors, hospitals, medicine, but I wanted to know what he wanted me to do with this. I really want, because I knew this was going to be a hard road, and I wanted him to be with me through this. And so I prayed about it for a couple weeks, and really hard, sought the Lord, and it came back, you know, put your faith and trust in me. No medicine, no doctor, no surgery. Put your faith and trust in me, and I will walk you through this. I will be with you. And it was tough. I mean, it was tough to hear that from the Lord. I was like, okay, Lord, let's do this. And I found my scripture verse of Hebrews 11:1. I mean, there was many scriptures that the Lord gave me, but Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance of things hoped for. So I was hoping for healing. You know, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This verse describes faith as a firm foundation for living a life of trust and hope in God, even when things are difficult or unseen. Faith is looking at God and trusting him for everything, while hope is looking at the future and trusting God for it. And it was a rough time. It really was. But God was with me through the whole process. And I revert back to Pastor Harley's sermon. In November, I mean, I remember reading through that, and I still have my notes to this day where I highlighted numerous things from that sermon, and it really carried me through that whole circumstance, and I am healed. I am healed of that to this day, and I just thank God, and throughout this whole thing, it's just made me more in awe of him. Just more in awe of him and his mercy and his grace. Just his love for us. And it has just definitely changed something within me. It just has. I mean, I'm in constant awe of him. I just am. I give the glory to God. I give all the glory to him.
All right, so one of the verses that she was standing on was this one right here, which if you can't read it, I'll read it for you. It says, by his wounds we are healed and made whole. And today I declare this is the foundation cornerstone of the Healing Center. I have declared that with our faith this morning in prayer. This is what we're building our building on. This is the cornerstone right here, Jesus Christ, Rapha. Okay? And we're all going to be a part of that. Your testimonies are important. So the final points to this sermon, one more time. If you've got your notes you just took, you can go back and look at them. Hear the word. Hear the word. Each of these ladies heard the word and they put it into action. That's what faith is. She said the hope of Jesus is important. We have to have our hope in something, but faith takes an action in the hope. Mm-hmm. Faith is a step above hope because faith is what gets you what he has for you. He uses faith. All right, so hear the word, get the revelation of it. What is he saying to you? This says he makes them whole. I like that version right there. He makes them whole. We are whole. One of the others she was standing on was, I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ, right? We are. We're a new creation in Jesus Christ because the revelation of who we are is not the old person that had been through previous trauma, previous battles, either any of them. All of these three ladies are being discipled, and I know them well, and they are standing in a completely different life than they were before. What they believed before is not the same today because they've been getting a revelation of the Word of God, and it's changed their lives. They come into agreement, number three. They came into agreement with these scriptures that they brought out. See, the Lord said to me, the word in their testimonies. It's the word that breaks everything. It's the word that tears down the enemy. It is the word, the word, the word, the word. If you don't have the word in you, you need to get the word. The word is what breaks the yoke. Yes. Satan wants to hook you to sickness and cancer and disease, but the word is what breaks the yoke. It isn't what I say or you say, it's the word.
Yes.
And as my scripture had said, thank you, Santos, but the word, he stood in front of me and said, I am the living word. Jesus will come to you in his word and give you that. Come into agreement with it. Mm-hmm. And number four, speak the power of God out of your mouth. And each one of them did that as well. They said, God, is that what you're saying? Okay. And they spoke out the word over their situation and it changed everything down to a Charlie horse. Come on. Mm-hmm. That's amazing, right? The devil wants to say, no, no, you have no power. I'm going to give you a Charlie horse. And I can just see her hopping out of bed going, ah.
Oh, yeah.
But God said, no, no, you can take care of these things. So praise God that he is Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
The one who brings healing to all areas of our life. Mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. Amen. Now, I've been asking him, how am I supposed to do this part of the service? But I really think he's saying to me, everyone that wants to know him more, come forward as Jehovah Rapha, and then we're going to share the testimonies of what he does. Okay? So come forward and just line up here. You want to know more of him. You got the revelation today as I was speaking of who he is in your life, that you want to know more, that you want to know him personally, that he is Jehovah Rapha in your life. He can pick up the pieces. He can pick up the pieces. You online, just extend your hand toward the screen and just reach out for Jehovah Rapha. Just reach out. This is the altar. It's not me. It's the altar. Reach out. Say, Jehovah Rapha, I heard in Hebrew who you are. I want to know you more. I want my broken self to be fixed. I want to declare out of my mouth who you are. I want the gospel to be true in my life with your power coming down and reaching out to me. Come, 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 come know him. Come get a touch of who he is. I'm just going to lightly touch you. I don't have to do anything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your power just comes out in our mouths. Just declare him as yours. Get a revelation of who he is. Who he is. Who he is. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't want to miss anybody. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Get a revelation of Jehovah Rapha in your life. Hallelujah. He's the one who heals. He's the one who changes everything. He's the one who takes care of everything in your body, in your spirit, in your mind, in your mental capacities. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies, Father God. Give us more. Give us more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just say it online, too. Thank you, Jesus. My foot is healed. My back is healed. My mind is healed. My body is healed. My whole self. I am new in Jesus. Call it out. What are you expecting? What are you asking for? Hallelujah. Pam, I'm touching you too. Santos, Rivka, hallelujah. I receive it. Thank you, Jehovah Rapha. Thank you for being our healer. Thank you for healing us in our whole. Our whole. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just let him touch you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. All right, now what I'm hearing is that we're going to have two lines right here, and I'm going to hold the microphone. And if you have a testimony, it's going to be 1 to 2 minutes you got, okay? And you're going to give that testimony, and it is the glory of God. It is not all the troubles you've been through. It is not all the bad. It is what he did, what he's doing, and it changes everything. And they're going to be recorded, and we're going to make reels off of them for the Healing Center, okay? So I'm not going to put your last name on it. Just say your name and what he's doing. All right? So I need a line over here and a line over here. Either way, pick a side. Either side. Pick a side.
Can it be a testimony that's not exactly healing? But no,
did you hear what I said?
No.
It's physical, mental, spiritual.
You. Now I did.
Okay, emotional. Okay. It's all things.
Thank you.
He is the healer of all things.
Yes.
So I need you guys to pick a side. Pick a side if you're going to give a testimony. Stand on one side or the other because the camera needs to be, we need to be on the camera. Can you? All right. And I got the timer right here. 1 to 2 minutes. Remember, it's the glory to God. All right. So peel it down to the glory of what he's doing right now. Come in the middle here. Thank you. All right, go ahead.
I got it. My name's Trish, and 25 years ago, I was diagnosed with central nervous system Lyme disease. I was on life support, and the Lord healed me. And since that time, the doctors gave me diagnosis, 6 more diagnoses. I don't have time to go into all of that. And I was in your church 3 or 4 years ago, and Pastor Harley spoke a sermon, and I went up front for prayer because the Holy Spirit told me that I had taken back my healing because I thought I was going to die. I had seen the verses in King Hezekiah. I had asked for 15 more years, so when the 15 years was up, I thought that was all I had. But I was brought back here to Indiana again because last spring I was diagnosed with a terminal condition called pulmonary fibrosis, and the Lord has healed me of that.
Amen.
So coming here, I've realized that the thing that was still wrong in my life, I'd been delivered from so much, but the thing I hadn't done was I hadn't forgiven myself. And through with Tanya and Andrew Womack and all this church, that has now happened. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you. Good job.
Hello, my name is Michelle. A little brief background with me, as I was never in church as a child. My father did not agree with it, even though he was a Catholic, but he didn't take us to church. So I did not really have the presence of the Lord in my life. I really didn't know him. I went through a lot of things. Witnessed things like my father was abusive to my mother, which kind of scared me. People have said things to me, done things to me, hurt me, which caused me to build a shell around myself and put a wall up. So I missed out on a lot of things because of I isolated myself. But I started coming to my father's house probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I have really started to come out of my shell. I'm going through this book with my disciple maker called 21 Days of Healing, and I'm telling you, that book has really, really changed my life. It took all those deep, dark roots out of me. I'm becoming more bold. I'm becoming more open, and I just thank God for everything that he's doing in my life. He's really, really changed me. And one of the things that I was standing on was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen.
I got to hang on because I'm about to fall over.
I got you. Come on. I got you. I got it.
I've been suffering with blepharitis of the eyes for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And for over a week now, I haven't had any symptoms. I'm believing that it's over and it's done, and I am healed of blepharitis of the eyes.
Amen.
Praise God. No more itching.
Awesome.
No more burning.
Praise God.
Hi, my name is Beth, and I was thinking this morning when she was talking about giving testimonies, I'm like, oh my gosh, I gave a testimony yesterday at DM, and I don't want to go into that part of the testimony other than the fact that when I was coming here today, I didn't want to come. I really had to push myself into coming here today, and so the Lord brought to mind, he said, yesterday you talked about never giving up. And I was like, you're right. I'm so happy I came today. And the scripture, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. So I'm just depending on his promise that he was going to have something for me. And then the other one that I talked about yesterday was that God created us. God knows everything about us. He knows it all. He knows what he has planned for us. He knows all that. Why are we not trusting in him? Why do we want to hold back and go, let me try this or let me try that, and not trust in him? So for that one, it's going to ding on me, isn't it? Ephesians 2:10. For we are all God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. He created us. He knows what's best for us. All we have to do is yield to him and say, okay, Lord, I am turning it over to you. So those were my two things, and praise God. Hopefully somebody got something out of it. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'm Sarah. I have waited a long time for God's promise to be a mother, and it's been a journey. And Isaiah 54, sing, O barren woman, though you who never bore a child, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. And then he spoke to me, especially, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your curtains wide, do not hold back, strengthen your cords, lengthen your stakes. At an Invasion conference last year, he spoke to me when we were praying and believing for God to bring us the right child for us. He said to me that you're going to be like a container of love to just, I'm going to stretch you and stretch you more and stretch you more to pour out love to the child that I have for you. And he's doing that, praise the Lord. And so now, he also spoke, so now we pray Isaiah 54, 13 and 14, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. And we pray over that over our son every night. Praying and believing for God to send us the child that God had for us. I had said, I just want to be a mom before I'm 45. And we met with Kaysen's team and saw pictures of him. We're like, oh, he's really cute. And they told us funny stories about him. And like, oh, wow, he sounds active and okay. And they called us and basically said, we liked you, we choose you to be Kaysen's parents the day before I turned 45. So that was the best birthday present ever last year. And so I'm a joyful mother of children, which is another verse. So praise the Lord. God is faithful to his promises.
Amen. Amen.
All right, well, I'm Tim, Tanya's husband. And I'm going to give you 22 years and 2 minutes. Obviously, everybody's heard the accident that we were involved in, but this is my part of that story. And the reason I'm going to tell you that is because there's two things about this I want to have my testimony about is, one, an immediate effect God had on me, and one that's taken 22 years to have on me. And in the accident, we were crushed between two semis. My sternum was broken, my ribs were broken in back, my leg was broken, and I had a head injury. Well, with the sternum break in front and the ribs in back, every single one of my trauma doctors and nurses said they only see those injuries on dead people. Because the force it takes to do that, your sternum is your hardest bone in your body. Force it takes to do that actually rips the aorta out of your heart. So God saved me that night. There is no doubt about it. The joke I tell is I wish you wouldn't hug so tight. But over 22 years, well, let me tell you one other thing about that night, which goes into this second part of it, is I'm very stubborn. And I tell you that and you think, yeah, okay, we know. But you don't know how stubborn I am. The night of the accident, I made a nurse take me outside to smoke because I smoked at that time. Obviously, my body didn't react too well with that. The next day, I was trying to make him do it again. And I was arguing with the doctor about it. And I have no memory of this, but I was arguing with the doctor about it. When I passed out, he made the nurse put a nicotine patch on my shoulder so I'd stop badgering him. So over 22 years, I've watched what God has done for Tanya and healed her and the healing that she's had from this. And over the last few weeks in cell class or group, revelation has come to me that I am the reason that God is not working in my life because I'm stubborn. I have been the obstacle for God to work in me and what I need to have done. So that's what I'm working on now. So give me time. I'm a work in progress.
Yeah. Amen. Next. Are you coming? Who's coming? All right, Paul. Right here.
My name is Paul. A couple months ago, I was shaving, and I felt a lump on my left side, and I got worried about it. I thought, well, I wait because I had a doctor's appointment coming up, and come to find out I had 3 golf ball size lumps in my throat. And then I told my wife and we started praying about it, and I called Brother Tim and Sister Tanya and we prayed on that before I went and got my test. And I got my test and they said it'd be a couple weeks before I got them back, but it was a couple days and they said all lumps are gone. And thank God. Amen. God's good. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Go. I'm Micah. I'm a sophomore in PFW. The reason why I have to state that is because as an incoming freshman, I wanted an internship as an engineer, civil engineer. And a lot of my friends at the time were giving me doubt. And I said, really? As a freshman, I can't be an intern. And so what ifs started playing in my head, in my classes. And I said, you know, Scripture does say in Matthew not to worry about it and to pray on it. So why am I here? And so I said, thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, God, that I will get this internship. And here I am, returning as a sophomore into my junior year, in my second year as an intern. So I rebuke the doubt.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing. You coming? You want me to let you hold it?
All right. I just want to encourage those that have had some long-standing things that when you stand on the Word of God, God is faithful. We've always encouraged people to access the Scriptures. We have on our website, we have healing scriptures. There's like 45 of them. You can listen to them in less than a half hour. I personally listen to them almost every day. Some of those scriptures probably I've listened to or read more than 10,000 times since I started in 1990 on that path. That doesn't put any notches in your belt, because you can't live off of yesterday's bread. You have to live off of today's. And the word says that if you want to grow in the things of God, you have to feed yourself. You have to keep feeding yourself the word. So when I was up against some long-standing stuff, I had injured my back several times and was really, really struggling. I had to stand on the word just like everybody else. Sometimes people think pastors don't have any problems or any issues or any challenges. But I can tell you that we have to live the word just like anybody else has to. And when you allow God to let his word become revelation to you, you can get set free. And after several years of struggling with back issues, it didn't happen the way I expected it to. I had gone for prayer. I've done other things that we teach people to do. When we're teaching healing and bringing the word for people to be healed, and nothing seemed to be helping. But then one night I was watching a video. It was actually a Benny Hinn video, and I was tired of being tired of being in pain constantly, 24/7, 365 for several years, and I thought, this has to be the night. And when he has the healing part of his program, I'm going to get it tonight. But when we came to that part of the program, Benny Hinn turned to the camera and said, "Turn the cameras off, turn the cameras off," and everything went black. And I was just half mad, because as I had set the point, this is going to be the point of my contact, I'm going to receive my healing. And just as clear as you can hear me speak today, God spoke in my heart. He said, "Benny Hinn might not be on that screen, but I'm here." And I rolled off the bed and hit the floor. Pastor Karen came running up and asking, "Everything okay?" But God was dealing with me. And that night he spoke to me and he said, "By your birthday, all of it will be gone." That was about a week or a week and a half later. And from that night on, every day was a better day, and it wasn't instant, but by my birthday all of it was totally gone. And now, unless somebody asks me about it, I don't even really think about it. I can do everything I could do when I was a teenager. So God is faithful, and he will honor his word. But I want to encourage everyone, don't wait until something happens to you to get into the Word and meditate on it. Be proactive and be in the Word of God and listen to the Word of God. Get healing scripture on the inside of you, because that's how it becomes revelation to you. And don't ever quit, even after you get your healing, because God has more for you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. All right. I know it's got to be
okay. So, God has protected my life more times than I can count. We'll start from one, I wasn't aborted. Two, my late husband had a gun to my head, and he said he didn't know why, but as he was pulling the trigger, he moved it just a little bit, so it got my arm instead of going into my head. Here recently, a tornado was, I could see it out the back 40. It was 35, 40 acres away. And I was talking to God and the angels. I'm like, you know, can you like push that? And they did. He did. 'Cause obviously the angels can't do anything without God's permission. And then the power of prayer, somebody I know for over 34 years has said God is trickery. Well, bunch of people praying for him, and praise God, last Easter he got baptized.
Amen.
So, okay.
Thank you.
So this morning in my daily devotion, it talked about how we're to share our testimonies. And I hadn't planned on doing this. I've never shared this publicly. But I was living my life, married for 36 years when we had a divorce. And it took that divorce to spiritually bring me back to him. It was the worst time of my life, but it has ended up being the best time of my life. God is so good. He did not give up on me ever. And he won't give up on any of you wherever you are in your journey. And he's such a good and gracious God. So I just wanted to share that.
Praise God. He is such a faithful Father. And he has answered my prayers. Just standing here today, listening to all of you. It's a prayer I had when we weren't even in Fort Wayne yet. And my parents both died before we moved back to Fort Wayne. I was born and raised in Fort Wayne, and they both died from, one had cancer and my mother had atrophy muscles in her brain. I don't know what they called it. And I'd speak the word to them, I'd pray over them, and in my heart, I just desired that they would take hold of that healing word. And so when Pastor and I felt called to Fort Wayne after they had been dead for several years, that was my heart's desire, that we would be able to share the Word of God, the importance of the living Word of God, and see the results of that, the healing that goes forth. So today was wonderful.
Have one? Nope. Okay. You?
I just want to let you know that our pets, I love pets. My son's Sean's cat, his name is William, and we brought him home. And one day he just lay down there. One of his leg was just completely, the paw turned white, and went to the doctor, has an X-ray over on him. And one of his bone was fractured, and he started to walk with limping. And next thing you know, is one leg was shorter than the other one because of the injury. So now, how do you pray for the pet that doesn't cry, doesn't complain, and doesn't say anything to you, but you can know that you have the dominion and authority that God has given you to over the demonic, the adversary, and any kind of sickness and disease. The blood of Jesus have take control over that. It's under our feet. And Lord is our Lord. He is our Lord. He is Jehovah Rapha. And I'm just telling you that just put your hand, touch the person, make that contact, let your faith flow, put into action, and just like William, he's healed. His leg no longer one short or one long, it was equal, and he's been healed almost many years now. So I'm just letting you know, even though someone doesn't say anything like William the cat, you can pray. You have the dominion, authority, the faith to move God. Amen.
All right. Amen. Thank you all in this room for being obedient to God. I know your spirits were thumping while you were up here. I know you were nervous, but now we have practice, right? So we're all going to go out and share our testimonies, right? I won't make you do it today with me, but go do it on your own. God will tell you who to speak to, who to talk to, who to open your mouth, because your testimony can change somebody else's life. I mean, somebody's got a pet problem, and this one's going to help, right? So we have to know those things, that God knows how it all works. He knows who, but when he tells you something for someone and you'd ignore that, he cries. He says, oh, I had really thought this one would be obedient today. And we break his heart because he needs to use us. We are his witnesses, right? We've covered that in the sermon. So I just pray for you on YouTube, social media, podcasts. Thank you for hanging in here with us through every single testimony. I know you have some of your own. Share them with us online. We have a Grasshopper number. You can call us. We'll pray for you and even come and visit you if we can. So Father God, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for you showing us that our word, your word and our words come together when we participate with you to change our world, to bring into life people around us. We thank you, God. We humbly accept the assignment and we don't want to make you cry. We want to go forth. And so I speak healing over every single person listening now in the name of Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, over you, in your room, in your car, with you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.